What love is this? It's the love of God. Nothing trumps it. Nothing is greater than the love of God. If you choose to reject the lifeline of safety that the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to throw you, and you choose to reject and reject, and you choose the path that will take you to spend eternity in hell, know this, you'll go to hell with God loving you. He will never stop loving you. Never. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you've been by world's standards, no matter how much you've been told that you'll never amount to anything, no matter how much the generational curse has been tried to be instilled in your mind and in your spirit so that you have the feelings of futility and failure, no matter how much you become weighted down with the bondages of the things of this world and the habits, no matter whether the depression and oppression comes in, no matter even if you have demon possession, the love of God remains the same. He loves you, and John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift ever, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Don't raise your hand, but how many of you in this place have ever had those feelings of futility in life, and that there's got to be more than just existing? There's got to be more than what I'm experiencing. There has to be more to life than just getting up every day and lacing up my boots and going off to work and coming home and getting a stack of bills out of the mailbox and going in the house, and even my own dog bites me. And there's got to be more. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but you just feel like, gosh, is this all there is? Well, I got news for you. Until you know Jesus, that's all there is. You see, the Word of God says that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? Nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than where will you spend eternity. That trumps everything. We get so consumed and mesmerized by our own personal satisfactions and gratifications and selfish desires and wants and things. And there's nothing wrong with wanting things. But when we become so mesmerized by it that things and possessions and stuff, all the wood, hay, and stubble becomes our God that we're pursuing, when that becomes the focus of our attention, I want you to know you're headed down a path that is going to end in destruction. It's going to end in devastation. It's going to end in loneliness and depression and defeat. And that's not the plan that God has for you. That's not what he wants for me. And I want to preach a very simple message tonight from Mark chapter 10. I feel like we could actually pray and go home. The Lord's ministered and moved through the music, the anointing, the presence of God has been here. Now, don't you understand better why Saul would call for David to come and to play to drive out those evil spirits? See, in the presence of the Lord, man, that's what we need to be. That's where we need to be, is in his presence. Need a little joy in your life, get in his presence. Come on, Marvin, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Say amen. Holy cow. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Man, don't them pages sound good? You all know the story. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. In verse 46, it says, now let me just back up a little bit. In the preceding verses, he'd been dealing with his disciples. His disciples kind of had a little tiff going among them, Tim. They was wanting to know who could sit at his right hand and his left hand. They was wanting places of favor and honor, and they was wanting to know who he thought the most of, so to speak. Kind of like what goes on in the church world today. And Jesus got them all straightened out on that by letting them know that the greatest among them was the servant. Guess what? Some things never change. The greatest among us is not the ones that stand and preach, nor the ones that stand and sing nor play, as good as that is and as much as we enjoy it. But the greatest among us is still the servant. It's still the one that does the things that's not convenient nor easy to do. It's still the one that's willing to say, Lord, I'll go out of my way to mow my neighbor's yard because I know they got a broke leg. It's still the one that will stop and change the flat for that person on the side of the road. And the list goes on and on and on. But just finding ways to serve. Finding ways to be a light that shines and be the salt that adds flavor to life. Finding a way to represent this Jesus that we serve in ways that people know that there's something different about us. I've been intending for 2 years to preach a sermon, Brad, and every week I forget it. I've been wanting to preach a sermon about when Moses came down off of the mountain and there was a glow about him and people could look at him and tell that he'd been in the presence of God by looking at him. I want to get in his presence to the point that people can look at my life and say, he's been with God. There's a presence upon him. There's a presence about him. There's a power that goes with him that's not of man. It's not of him. It's of God. And it's available to you and to me. But it comes by being a pursuer of God, a seeker of God. It comes by getting in the presence of God on a consistent basis. Have I read these verses yet? Anyway, he got his disciples straightened out. Let them know the serving was the thing. Now here we go in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Y'all know that word mercy means give me what I don't deserve. Seriously, we need to understand this. I got to mark that spot because I'll be right back. We've got to understand the difference in grace and mercy. We're saved by grace through faith in God. Here's grace. God giving us something that we don't deserve. His mercy is his not giving us what we do deserve. Oh, I need a lot of mercy. I probably need more mercy than I need grace. Rewind. I probably need more mercy than I need grace. And guess what? So do you. We enjoy the grace. We love the grace. Grace is good. I don't dispute nor deny that, but I'm bad. In the flesh dwells no good thing. In this person, in this body, there's nothing good. And if I don't walk, that's my mama saying amen. If I don't walk in the Spirit, I will walk in the flesh, which is no good thing. So I must learn to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the flesh, so that I don't walk in the flesh. Therefore, I don't require as much mercy. But guess what? Every day is a new day. And every day I need mercy. So he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, say it with me, mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and he said unto him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said unto him, Rabboni, or rabbi, or teacher, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go your way. Your faith hath made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want to talk to you tonight for just a very few minutes about how to break out of a rut. Any of you ever feel like your life's in a rut? It's been said, and true it is, that a rut is simply a grave with the ends kicked out of it. And we're all creatures of habit. Don't worry, baby, I'm not going to tell a story on you tonight. Yet. But we are all creatures of habit. Help me, Lord, move on. You want to wreck her world? Move her cereal. Put it in a different cabinet. There will be a bad day at Greenwood Heights. But how to break out of a rut? And we all need some changes in our life. We all need to get out of some of the ruts that we have. We've got some good ones, but we also have some that need a little work. So I want to talk to you very quickly. If you'll stay and listen as fast as I talk, we'll be through in 5 or 6 or 20 or 30 minutes or something like that. But the first thing I'd like to point out in verse 47, we've got to assume responsibility for our own life. Notice that when he heard that it was Jesus, blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus passing by, it says he began to cry out. Maybe you're like blind Bartimaeus, and you're in this place tonight. I can't help but believe that because when he heard that it was Jesus, that he had been hearing about this Jesus. He'd been hearing of the miracles that he'd been performing. He'd been hearing of all of the stories and great and wonderful things that he'd been doing. Now when he hears that it's this miracle worker, the one that's been calling the dead out of the graves, the one that's been multiplying loaves and fishes, the ones that's been doing many wonderful things, he hears that he's walking by and he began to do what? Assume responsibility for his life. He's blind. He's in a bind. He's in a bad way. And he took responsibility and he began to cry out. You need to assume responsibility for your life, for your circumstances, for the decisions that you make, good or bad. Own up to it. Assume responsibility. Secondly, we see where he clarified what he really needed because Jesus asked him, What is it that you want? Now, the Lord already knows. But he wants us to ask. He wants us to come to him, to lean upon him, to depend upon him, to trust in him, to believe for him, to expect from him. He wants us to come to him and clarify. What is it that you need, Bartimaeus? Tonight I ask that of you, Joe, John, Billy, Wayne, Sue, Sally, whoever you are. What is it that you need in your life? Do your sins need, do you have sins that need to be forgiven? Do you need to know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have an addiction that you need to be delivered from? Is your marriage in terrible shape? Is your family falling apart? Is your business in trouble? What is it that you need? Thirdly, in verse 51, you've got to believe that you can change, because he says, that I might receive my sight. You see, regardless of what the doctors have said, I've got to believe that Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, has the final say. I've got to be thankful for medicine and technology and doctors and all that they can do, and they can do a lot. And I'm so thankful. But they're just practicing physicians. Jesus is the great physician. He's the one that we come to and cry out to. He's the one that says, let it be, and it becomes. I want to share with you one story. Can y'all give me an extra 20 minutes? No, not really. But I want to share with you one story. Glenda knows this to be a fact, and so does Duke. I was walking out of a roping in Fort Smith, Arkansas, at K. Rogers Park, and I was walking down the alleyway. And a guy named Eric Odom and his wife, April, from Searcy, Arkansas, you know them, Hunter, they stopped me. And they said, Brother Dennis, we have some very good friends back home that they have a baby that was born with a mass in his stomach, and they couldn't do it surgery as an infant, so they've waited till the baby is now, I believe it was 9 months old, possibly 10. And they're going to be doing surgery in the morning. Would you pray for that baby? I said, absolutely. Buddy Norman was walking by. I hollered at him, and Buddy came over. We shared with him the story. And April and Eric and Buddy and myself, we began to pray. And the only thing that I remembered praying, how many of you have ever prayed and not remembered a word you said? That's when the Holy Spirit's praying for you. There are times we don't know how to pray. The Word tells us that. There are times we don't even know how to pray. But the Spirit will pray for us. The only thing that I remember saying, cancer, we curse you at the roots, that you'll dry up and die. Monday rolls around. They prepared the family for an extensive 8 to 10 hour surgery. Baby's got a 50-50 chance of coming off the table. This is documented. I can prove it. Doctor says he has a 50-50 chance of coming off the table. He left those parents petrified. In 30 minutes, those doctors walked back in that waiting area. The parents were petrified, thinking the babies died on the table in surgery. And the doctors said, what we've just experienced in that operating room, I don't have an explanation for. But when we opened that baby's abdomen, a dead mass rolled out on the table. Now, we've done biopsies, took cultures on everything around, and it turned out to be nothing. The baby's fine to this day, about 6 years old. But what I'm trying to tell you is believe your situation can change. Did you know the Word of God says that without faith, which is believing, that without faith, it's impossible to please God? Fourthly, in verse 48, we've got to stop worrying about what people say. You see, as Bartimaeus is reaching out to the Lord and crying out to him, what's the people doing? They're saying, man, you better shut up. Don't be so loud. He's not nervous. I bet he felt like saying, yeah, and he's not deaf either. Stop worrying about what people say. Fifthly, in verse 46, You got to stop waiting for ideal circumstances, because see there in verse 46, it's talking about there's this great multitude of people. Remember, he's blind. Jesus is wanting him to come. You got to stop waiting for ideal circumstances. Next, we see in verse 50 where he did something bold, because when the Lord told him to come, it said he got up, cast away his garment, threw it aside. That had been a form of security for him, of warmth and protection, comfort. But he threw it away to take that step towards Jesus in obedience to what he had said to come. And he did it right then. One of the devil's favorite tools is the word procrastinate. He wants to always get you to put off to some other time to make a decision for Christ or to be obedient to what the Lord has spoken for you to do. Put it off to some other time. The Lord's favorite word is today. Today, I stand at the door and knock. Today is the day of salvation come to your house. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of healing. Today is a day that peace can be spoken into your life. Today is a day where wisdom can be given if you'll ask and believe. But you know what? One of the things that I find in Scripture validates it. He says, you have not because you ask not. Then it says, and when you do ask, it's amiss. You don't expect or you don't believe. What is that? That's called a religious spirit. That's called just having a form of godliness and no power. I am convinced. I am persuaded. I believe with everything in me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still in the miracle working business. He can still get you a job. He can still heal your body. He can still restore your marriage. He can still give you peace in the storms. He can give you direction when you don't know what to do. He's still God. Would you bow your heads if you're in this place tonight and you're like blind Bartimaeus and you're a sinner? And you're on your way to hell. If you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell, and you know it. You'd like to call out to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins. If you say, Dennis, that's me, would you raise your hand? Anyone, anywhere, anyone, anywhere. Yes, sir, thank you. Anyone else, very quickly. Anyone else, slip it up, slip it right back down. Yes, sir, thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment. This is your time. Anyone else, very quickly, join these two men. All right. Thank you, sir. Maybe you say, Dennis, I'm saved. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm battling health issues. Can I see your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes, yes, yes. Many hands. Yes. Put them back down, no one looking around. Just say, Dennis, I'm saved, but my marriage is in trouble. Could I see your hand real quickly? Anyone, get it up, get it right back down. Anyone, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Anyone else, very quickly. This is your moment, this is your time. Be honest with yourself, be honest with God. No one's looking around. If you raise that hand as a point of contact, I want to pray for you. Your marriage is in trouble. You'll dare to step out and believe, yes, ma'am, thank you. Anyone else, very quickly. Yes, sir. Thank you. Perhaps you're here in this place tonight and you're bound by an addiction. I believe that Jesus came to set us free, not only from the law of sin and death for our sins, but I believe he came to set us free from the bondages of addictions, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it may be. I believe the Lord has and will continue to set people free. If that's you, could I see your hand? Anyone, anywhere, real quickly. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, sir. Yes, anyone else? Get it up. It's your moment. It's your time. Tonight's the night. Today's the day. Not tomorrow. Tonight's the night. Anyone else? All right, look up here at me. There are three gentlemen raised their hand for salvation. I want to be sure you understand God's word is simple, and it says that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son, that loved us enough that he left heaven, came to earth, was tempted in all ways that you and I are, but yet was without sin. He stayed faithful to the death that he came to provide on a cross. And listen, it wasn't easy. Go read and study what he went through. Beaten beyond recognition, rejected, pained, spit upon, betrayed, sold. Because he loved us. What love is this? And he died. But he didn't stay dead, Tim. Easter Sunday morning, he come walking out of that grave alive, and he's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he loves us, and he's ready to receive whosoever will come. He's ready. He says that if I believe that in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, then I become saved or adopted into the family of God, become a child of God. I become one of his children. That's what God's word says. So if you are ready to do that, let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I do believe that you're God's Son that loved me, died for me, rose for me. And tonight you're saying, welcome home. So I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life and save me, wash me, change me. Help me to learn your voice. Help me to learn your ways. Help me to learn your word, so that I can live a life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you saw many hands go up across this place, for their marriages were in trouble. God, we know that the devil likes to destroy marriages, and we know you like to save them. We know, Lord, that you're in the restoring, healing business. And I pray, Lord, that you would help these men and these women to swallow their pride and realize it's not about who's right, who's wrong, because the truth of the matter is they've both been right and they've both been wrong. But help them to swallow their pride and to have a forgiving spirit and to give forgiveness and to receive forgiveness. And Lord, what the devil is trying to do, that they will not let it happen. We ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as they run to you, lean upon you, that God, that you'll help them to work it out, that you'll help them, Lord, to overcome this defeatist mentality and this throw in the towel, let's quit. But God, that they will endure and work through it, and their marriage will be better than it's ever been, that it'll become a godly marriage, and that God, you can use it to inspire others. Lord, for those that raise their hand tonight with addictions, regardless of what they may be, we know, Lord, we know that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we ask you tonight, Lord, by your power and by your name, we curse and come against the strong man. We take authority and dominion over that stronghold, that bondage, that ball and chain that they're carrying around. Lord, we ask you tonight to glorify yourself and to supernaturally set them free. Deliver them. We'll be sure to say thank you. We'll be sure to give you the power, the praise, and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.